been talking a lot about Christian life, what that looks like over the last few weeks. And so I just want to stop, and today's service is just going to be a straight up salvation message. Time to time, I like to do that just because I think it's important to make sure we're all on the same page, maybe to bring some explanation, some clarity to some things. And even tonight, we're celebrating with baptisms, and some of you may not have any clue what baptism is and why we do that. Well, what we're going to talk about today is why we do baptism, because it is an absolute conscious choice to intentionally follow Jesus, because that is how we gain eternal life. So we're going to talk about faith today. Now, if you have done any type of evangelism, you may have heard of the faith presentation. If you've done faith or heard of faith presentation, so just a couple of you. So you're probably going to be a little bored, sorry. Maybe it'll be a good refresher for you, but there's a couple of categories that you might fall into. You may fall into the category of, I know that I'm saved, been saved a long time, I'm confident in my salvation, this will be good for me to hear to where I can share it with other people. If that's you, what I would ask is, listen to what is going to be shared today, but be praying for those that don't have what you have. Maybe you've been saved for a while, but you know, you're still kind of trying to figure this whole thing out, what it looks like. And so my prayer for you is that you would prayerfully consider everything that you're going to hear today and allow the Spirit to do a work in your heart to maybe bring some clarity to you as to the decision that you consciously made to follow Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then the last group, you may have zero clue what any of this stuff is about. And you are the ones that I want to talk to this morning. My goal here this morning is to make this as simple as I possibly can, but not too easy for you. I want it to be simple in the explanation and the understanding, but I want it to be a hard choice for you. Because serving someone else over ourselves, that's a hard choice. And that's really what this is all about today. And so we're going to be talking about faith. The idea of faith is this. It's faith in or on Jesus is the key to a relationship with God. Now you're going to hear in our world that there are many different ways and different translations and different things and many different paths. But the truth of the matter is, to have eternal life, to go to heaven, which most people want to go, the only way to do that is to have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And that is how we believe scripture teaches. That is how I came to know Christ. I know it in my heart. And some of you may be thinking, well, how do you know? I just know. I mean, I can read about it and that does me good. I can watch other people and hear their testimonies and that helps me. But when I got it, man, did I get it. Now, did it happen instantaneously? Salvation did, but understanding comes in spurts. This is not a one and done, I pray the prayer, all is good. This is a one and done, I've prayed the prayer, it has started the journey of continual growth and continual commitment and recommitment and change commitment and new commitment to a holy God. It's an ongoing process. And that's where faith comes in. Because faith is, to me, always changing. I learn new things, now I gotta have faith in that. I learn new things, well, I don't need to trust that anymore, I need to trust this. Faith is always growing, it should always be growing, it should never be stagnant. In fact, we've talked before, if you were in the same place you were 10 years ago, you might wanna check something. Faith should always be changing and growing. And so we're going to talk about the key to a relationship with God, and that is faith in or on Jesus. And if you don't know what the in or on means, there's a sermon on that somewhere in our archives. Go back and find it and listen to that because it's important. It's a big deal. So here we go. Here are some things that I want to make sure that we understand faith is not. Faith is not about just being good. Being good is important. It's a part of this, but it does not guarantee my faith. It does not guarantee entrance into a relationship with God. There are lots of good people that are going to die and go to hell. Now you may be wondering, what is hell? Hell is our belief that is an eternal separation from God. It is eternal hellfire, brimstone, darkness, terribleness. We joke about it because we don't really want to talk about how serious it is. The seriousness of it should curl our toes and cause us to all quiver in fear because it is a serious, literal place. But the flip side to that is we have the opportunity to choose to serve God, to follow God, to trust in Him, to have faith on His Son Jesus, to be able to experience eternal life with Him in heaven, which is the exact opposite. It's full of light. It is happy. There is no sorrow, no sadness, no tears. It's all joyful, and it's all centered around God. So to me, good enough does not get you to heaven. To Scripture, good enough sends you to hell. I am sad for those that think just doing the right things and being good enough is good enough, because they are sadly mistaken. Now, we are operating under some principles that there is a bigger creator than who we are, that there's something else out there. And for us to understand faith, for us to understand all of this and to go any further, we have to accept the fact that there is a God, there is a creator, something bigger than us, something bigger than anything we could ever imagine or experience. He's just so amazing and so big. And when we can accept that, that He has created us, then we have to toy with the idea, okay, if He is the example and epitome of good, how do I get to that place? Because I'm not good enough. Here's the second thing. God's justice towards us is affected by our choice to follow Him or not. You see, this plan of salvation to spend eternity with God or apart from God was set in motion a long time ago. It's already been settled. It all hinges on what you choose to do today. It all hinges on the fact of, am I going to choose to continue going the direction that I'm going and try to figure it out myself and be good enough? Or is it hinging on the fact that I'm trusting something bigger than myself? Something better than me? Something that is more gooder than I am? Because the truth is, our righteousness is as filthy rags compared to the righteousness of Christ. And placing our faith in His righteousness is where it gets us into heaven. It's our faith in what He was able to do that He is so much better to Him. So all of this hinges, all of this heaven thing and hell thing and relationship with God thing hinges on what you choose to do from here on out. That's where we get the whole free will thing. Number three, to believe in God is to fully trust Him, not just know Him. You see, my favorite response to people when I ask them, are you a Christian? Yeah, I know God. Great. I know lots of people, but I don't really know them. I know lots of you, but I don't really know you because I haven't spent time with you or you haven't spent time with me. That's how you get to know somebody. And so I can know of God all day long, but if I'm not trusting in Him and believing in Him and following Him, my faith doesn't really mean anything, because it's got to be more about just head knowledge. It's got to be in my heart and moving me closer to Him, causing me to walk closer to Him. It is not just about the knowledge. It is about the action with the knowledge. To believe in God is to fully trust Him. And now for some of us, for some of you, trust is a big word. Trust was taken away from you a long time ago, and you find it difficult to trust anything and anybody. In fact, it may be difficult for you to trust God because of certain instances in your life that have taken place that didn't make sense to you, that you were very angry about. I want to encourage you this morning, don't believe the lies that your mind is telling you and that Satan is throwing in there. God is absolutely trustworthy. I can tell you story after story, personal stories, of how I was able to trust God even when it didn't make sense and it didn't go my way. But in the end, it played out the way that He needed it to. And that was actually beneficial to me. I can read you story after story of how we look at how God, mean God may have been, but how He used it to do what He needed to do down the road. You see, we have to get out of this selfish mindset that this is about us and realize that this is nothing about us, that this is all about Him. And so believing in God is to fully trust Him. Lastly, faith in God is exemplified by living an ever-changed, Christ-centered life. Faith is not just about being good, and faith is not just about doing all the right things. It is about living a different lifestyle that is centered around God. Now, am I asking you to be super Jesus freaks and totally off the wall and nobody wants to be around you because all you talk about is Jesus? It's not what I'm asking you to do, but I'm asking you to consider maybe some of our ways need to change to where people actually know that you're a Jesus follower. You see, again, I say, if we have not changed since the time we have prayed the prayer and committed our life to Christ, then let me challenge the fact that did you really mean what you said when you asked Him to forgive you of your sins and to be Lord of your life? Because if He is truly Lord of your life, if He is truly the one that you are following after and trusting, then your life would be different and you would live differently. So how do we get to that place? How do we get to the place that we can trust God and allow our life to be changed by Him to live differently? How do we do that? Let me start here. It's going to be really simple, but I want you to follow along. First thing is you have to understand forgiveness. Forgiveness is the first step in this faith process, and forgiveness that everyone has sinned and needs the forgiveness of God. Everybody's sinned. Oh, wait. I'm a good person. Like, I don't do all of those big things. I don't kill anybody. I don't cheat on my wife. I don't steal. It's not just those sins. It's easy to pick out the big sins because they're out there and we can see them. What's even more concerning to me is the ones that we know that are living within us that we glaze over. You see, nobody taught you how to steal, how to cheat, how to lie as a kid. If they did, that's bad parenting. Right? Nobody taught you how to do that. And you knew the instant that you did it, something wasn't correct. Deep down, something just didn't feel right. Whether you knew it was right or wrong, doesn't matter. My point is, the moment that we do something wrong, whether we know it's wrong or not, something internally goes off. Why do you think that is? Because we were created to have a relationship, to be in right relationship with a holy God, our Creator, that wants goodness for us, happiness for us, to have no sin in our life. But because of the fall of man, there is sin in our life, and His goal is to get rid of all that for you. To where you can live the life that you want to live, to where you can be the person that you want to be and that He has created you to be. The trick is, you've got to ask for it. You got to go after it. You've got to realize that you need it and go get it. Paul says it the best. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. Even you, Pastor? Let's go to lunch. I'll fill you in. Yes, even me. Even me. And all of that sin keeps us from getting to God. Why? Because God is so glorious and so pure and so righteous that He cannot exist where sin abounds. He won't. And so all of us, if we continue in the nature of our sin, in the way that we were born, and we never accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will not go to heaven. Why? Because you weren't good enough? No, it's got nothing to be and nothing to do about being good enough. It's because of the sin nature that already preexisted within you. That is what must be removed. That is what must be changed within us. That is what must be submitted to a holy God, to be covered by the blood of the Lamb, to where we can be seen as Christ rather than our old selves. For all have sinned and fallen short. So if forgiveness is what we need, we can only find it in Jesus. Now again, I know for some of you this is going to be very closed-minded thinking, but the truth of the matter is, if you believe that this is God's word and this is what was given to us to read through and try to figure out, it says very clearly that the only way to get forgiveness is through Jesus. And Jesus went to great lengths to procure that for us. In fact, Paul talks about it in Ephesians 1:7. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood. Oh, wait a second. We're talking about live, real blood. Yeah. We're talking about a real man, God's Son, who came and lived life here with us to show us how we can do it, and then to offer His life as the final true sacrifice, the final payment for all of our sins. It is through the shedding of His blood, just like they used to do the old sacrifices and that would absolve them of their sins, at least put them in right relationship with God. This one was the last one. It's why we don't do sacrifices now. Because Jesus paid it all. He took care of it for us. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. His blood covers us, cleanses us, fixes us. Because that's what Jesus is offering. It's how God set it up. According to the riches of his grace. Love grace. Grace is so good for us, but we should not take advantage of it. It was God doing something for us that we could not do by sending his son. It was Jesus showing grace to us by giving his physical life for you and for me. So if forgiveness is what we need, we must understand that because it is what we need through Jesus, it's available. Isn't it nice? It's like the new iPhone. It's available. Let's go get it. Why don't we get excited about that? Why do we not get as excited about the forgiveness that God offers us as we do a pair of tickets to a Phillies game or a pair of tickets to the Eagles game or whatever? I mean, it was the same thing of when we talked about he is risen and we don't get excited about that. We should be elated to know that forgiveness of our sins is available to anybody and everybody that wants it. God's forgiveness is available for all. And you know what I love about that word all? It is non-discriminate. Doesn't care what color you are, doesn't care about your socioeconomic status, doesn't care about your job status, doesn't care about the size of house you have, the car you drive, how good or bad your kids are, does not matter. Forgiveness is available for all. And that includes you. Doesn't matter how horrible a life you think you've lived or all these bad things that God would never forgive you. No, that is a lie that you are believing. That is not true. Actually, Jesus died for all men, women, children, all sins. Verse we know. Actually, we're going to throw in 17 because 17 has to be included with 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, we have to be careful that we don't get wrapped up with so loved the world because it can mean a couple of different things. It could mean the cosmos, his whole creation. Or it could mean our little world. But it generally refers to the cosmos. But we could argue that all day long, but you can't argue with the next word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever gave enough tithes, that whoever attends church regularly, that whoever does the most witnessing, that whoever does the most good, that whoever lives the best kind of lifestyle, that whoever lives in the United States, that's not what it says. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes. That's where the faith comes into here. It is a belief. It is buying into this idea. It's trusting that what we read, what we've heard, what we are experiencing is real and true and we can trust it. It says that believes in him, Jesus, not Paul, not Peter, not Moses, Jesus, that whosoever believes in him, Jesus, shouldn't perish. They don't have to perish. It's not built that way. It's not supposed to happen that way. Jesus died that no one should have to die and go to hell. But have everlasting life. Listen, here's the thing that gets me. We get so mad at God when things don't quite go the way that we want it to go, right? And most of the time, things don't go the way that we want it to go because of our dumb decisions. Let's be honest and real. Well, we had no say-so in the sin nature that was within us, correct? No say-so. You got it as the moment you came out. You have it. It's just there. And yet God, way before we were ever created, developed this plan that if we just simply believe in his son, that sin nature that we had nothing to do with can be gone. Now you tell me how mean a God he is that made a plan long before to fix something you can't fix on your own. That's the God we're talking about here. The same God that has mistreated you and put you in spots. The reality is, you know what? Life happens. And it's hard, and it finds you in places and things that you shouldn't be in. But it's just life. It's not God's fault. But God wants to use that to your advantage. He wants to use it to proclaim how amazing He is and allow you to experience something that most would not get to experience. But you got to get it. You got to go after it because it's available. But it doesn't stop there. Look what else Jesus said. These are Jesus' words, by the way. It says, for God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send Jesus in to make us all feel bad. He didn't send Jesus in to make us look at Him and say, oh man, I'll never be able to live like He lives. I can't do this. This is pointless. It's not why He came. But that the world through Him might be saved. What are we being saved from? All those sins that we talked about. That's why we need forgiveness. And it's available to all. But here's the trick. It's not automatic. Most people want to think that, well, if God's such a loving God, then I'll just chance it, get to heaven, stand in front of Him, and He'll just say, you know what? I had this plan, but I'm just such a loving, good God. You know what? I'm just going to forgive you. Just come on in. There are going to be a lot of disappointed people that are living life that way. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. There are conditions with this thing. For me to get forgiveness, I got to make a choice. It's not automatic. What a great verse. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. To me, that is probably one of the most scariest verses in the Bible that I can read. Jesus said, there are going to be people that are going to show up. And they're going to look at me and say, Lord, Lord. And I'm going to look at them and say, sorry. You know, we didn't have that kind of relationship. I know you thought you did. And I know you prayed to me and called out my name. And I know you did some things here and there. But the reality is we never developed that relationship. I never really truly became your Lord. And we'll make sense of that in just a few minutes. But that's important for us to know. He says, but he who does the will of my Father. So if it's not just about calling God and knowing about Him, it is about doing what He's called us to do. There's some action in this. So it's the head knowledge and the action knowledge that are important, and they must come together. It's the trust and the action that we've been talking about. So if forgiveness is needed, and it's there, it's available, but not available for all, then it would seem as if this is going to be impossible if we're trying to do it on our own. Because the reality is, we want to try to fix things on our own. Think about all the things we get ourselves involved in. We're trying to fix things. And the truth is, you can't fix this one on your own. It is impossible to go to heaven for our good deeds or just a good life. It's impossible. Without that forgiveness that is available to all and not automatic, it's impossible for us to get there. It's impossible. Look, for by grace you have been saved through what? Your tithes. For by grace you have been saved by the fact that you're here this morning, you don't ever have to come back. For by grace you have been saved because you're a really nice guy. Paul says, you have been saved by grace, meaning something you couldn't do on your own, by faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It has nothing to do with you. You're not good enough. There's nothing that you can offer to God to change His mind, to let you in without salvation. It is by faith and faith alone. And it's a gift from Him. It costs you nothing except your life. But He's not making you do or cross through a bunch of hurdles. He's saying, here's the gift if you want it. Take it. And look what else it says. Not of works, lest any man should boast. I always include that because it's so important. Because here's the trick. If it was based on works, I would be able to, for the next however many Sundays I wanted to, stand up here and tell you how much better I am than you are because I preach on Sundays. Now, how long are y'all going to keep me if I do that? Not long. You better not anyway. But that's where this would go to. You think about that. We would start comparing and contrasting and adjusting and trying to do different things, trying to win up or one up everybody else. And Paul says, no, no, you're missing the point. It's not about any of that. It is about your faith. It is about your faith. So it's impossible for us, based on our own merits and our own good deeds, to get there. So the question is, if a good person, or just a person living a good life, doing good deeds, can't even get to heaven on their own, how in the world can it happen? How can it happen? Well, there is another way. You've got to turn. So we've got forgiveness. That forgiveness is available for all. It's not automatic. And it's impossible without forgiveness that's available to all and not automatic. It's impossible for us to get to heaven without it. Then how do we get there? It starts with turning. You guys still following with me? Okay, good. We got to turn. First thing is, we must turn from sin itself. This, to me, is the crux of any major salvation decision, any major Christian decision. Now, whether you've been saved for a long time, or you've never been saved, or you're in the middle, whatever, all of us find ourselves right here. Because it all hinges on whether I'm willing to turn away from my old stuff and turn to something new. That, to me, is where people either go all in or they don't. There is no fence riding here. Either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. It is turning away from sin itself. Now, is that instantaneous? I believe there are things that can be instantaneously turned away from. And then I believe that as we walk this journey, because it is a journey, God reveals other things that we weren't ready to let go of at that moment, but he reveals things and begins to work through our lives to tell us and help us to see, I got to turn from that too. So it's not just I prayed a prayer, I've turned away from all my sin, I'll never do those things again, which I believe there are some things you will. I believe I prayed a prayer, I start my journey, and it is a process to get me to the place to be more like Christ. So as I conquer one thing, God brings something else up. Hey, let's talk about this. You need to turn away from that and turn to me. Conquer that, another thing comes up. Is that annoying? Yeah. But how much better am I for it, because a loving Heavenly Father that has created me and knows me better than anybody else is patient with me and gentle with me and loving me enough to say, that's not good, let's do something else. Listen, it's just like your parenting. Surely you treat your kids like that. You see something you don't like, you don't pounce on everything at once. If you do, you're going to crush them. But you take the opportunity as you can and you bring them to where you want them to be. That is all our Heavenly Father is doing for us. We must turn from our sin itself. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, or I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. There's our favorite R word again. Now we're not just talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness that's available to all and not automatic. Now we're talking about repentance. You see, we can give forgiveness all day long and go right back to our sins. Repentance is getting that forgiveness and turning away, walking away, never to return, and we're going in a different direction. Again, this to me is the crux for all of this, and it's either going to sell people or it's not. This is the hardest part. I am 42, I'll be 42 in May, been saved since I was 6. I am still learning how to do that. Still. As your pastor, who has struggles just like you because I'm human, still find myself having to make a conscious choice on certain things to say, no, I'm done, I'm walking away. Please don't ever believe that because you have prayed the prayer that you're immune to this. I'm not concerned with how long you've been saved. I'm more concerned with, what are you doing in this meantime? Until he returns or you die first, we have a responsibility to continue turning away from sin and self. Well, if we're going to turn away from sin and self, we've got to turn to something. What are we going to turn to? We're going to turn to our relationship with our Savior Jesus. If we're turning from something, we got to turn to something, and it better be him, or it's just going to be a replacement for the thing you just left. We've got to turn to the Savior, which is Jesus. Again, probably one of the most controversial verses that you'll ever read nowadays because of all the other different religions and thought processes out there. But Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man, woman, or child comes to the Father but through me. Now, I realize for some of you that may be tough to hear and to accept. The reality is, I'm only telling you what Jesus said. He said, I'm the way. I came here to show you that this life is actually doable, that it can be lived this way. And not only am I showing you the way, but I'm going to show you the truth, that what I say I'm going to do, that you can trust me when I leave. And there are plenty of stories in the Gospels that tell us this is what Jesus said and this is what happened. There are plenty of Old Testament prophecies that said this is what's going to happen and this is exactly what happened in the Gospels. Like, there's enough validation in there that we don't have to be distrusting towards the words that are written in this wonderful book. And so if we're going to turn from our sin and self, by the way, we don't know how to get to heaven on our own. We're not good enough. We're just going to make a mess of it. So we must turn away from that and turn to something that is trustworthy. That is Jesus. And he says, I am also the life. I love this part. Praying the prayer and accepting Christ is not just about going to heaven. We have to get out of that mindset. It is not fire insurance. That's the bonus. But the great reward of walking with Christ every day is being in his presence every day, that we can experience his life right here, right now. And when I turn from sin itself and I turn to Jesus, then I get to experience the life that he always meant for me to experience. But it comes down to, is this about me or is this about him? I love that where he says, no one comes to the Father but through me. Meaning, if you want to get to heaven and spend eternity with God the Father, you got to have a relationship with me. You got to trust me, which is so hard for us. So if we turn and accept this forgiveness and we turn from our sin and self and we turn to Jesus, what's the benefit? Why should I do that? Which we all want to know. If I'm going to do this, what do I get out of this, right? That's how we work. Well, you get heaven. Heaven is now and later. It's not a candy. But it is something that you can benefit from now. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what our enemy does. He wants to take from you what is not his to take. Agreed? Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have life more abundantly. Jesus said, the thief comes to take what is not his. I'm coming to give you what you don't have. Let that sink in. The thief comes and takes what is not his, which irritates us, right? Makes us mad. But Jesus comes and says, I'm going to give you what you didn't even realize you needed. I'm going to take that list that the enemy stole away from you, and I'm going to fulfill it. And how I'm going to fulfill it? I'm going to give you life, not just eternal life, but I'm going to spend time with you right here, right now, and allow you to experience life the way that it was meant to experience. Now, if we go to heaven, what's the purpose of going to heaven? The purpose of going to heaven is to spend eternity in the presence of God, praising his name. Would you agree with that? When you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, who inhabits your being? The Spirit of God. Heaven here. Let that sink in. If we can accept the fact that heaven is not just some afterlife afterthought of living here, that it is actually here right now that I get to experience it, it should change how we do life. Because his very presence, his very essence, his very spirit lives within me. Am I going to take him to the wing bar? Am I going to take him to fill in the blank? Shouldn't. Am I going to do that knowing that the Spirit of God lives within me? Am I going to go to that place? Am I going to do that with that person? Am I going to experience this thing? We can experience heaven right here, right now, by being in his presence every single day. He doesn't just exist here from 10:30 to 11:45. It's 24/7. Even while you're sleeping, his spirit does not sleep. He's watching over you, working with you. giving you the rest that you need. That's the great benefit of all this. And what is he asking from us? To turn from our sin and self, the destructive behaviors that only get us in trouble. How do we do that? How do we get this forgiveness that's available to all but not automatic? Because we realize it is impossible for us to get there on our own. How do we get to the place where we can turn from our sin and self and turn to Jesus in order to experience heaven later and even right now? How do we do that? Here's what Paul says. Paul says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Wait. You mean I don't even have to pray this special little prayer? What does that say? It says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, meaning if you are willing to tell people and to express verbally, Jesus is Lord of my life. Now that sounds easy, right? Until you understand the concept of lordship. The concept of lordship is not, okay, I've done this thing, now I can go do whatever I want to do, and there's no penalty for that. No. The idea of lordship is, now somebody else is calling the shots. I am serving a benevolent, loving Heavenly Father that has great plans for me and wants the best for me, and all I have to do is follow him to ensure that all of those things will come my way. I have to confess that he is Lord, meaning I am turning from myself, I am submitting myself at the foot of the cross, and I am fully bought in to this whole idea of loving God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But it's not just a confession, because talk is cheap to me. I can confess that, yeah, I know God exists. But it's not just the fact that I'm confessing he is Lord of my life, but I'm believing in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Now it comes from the outer to the inner. It's got to be an inner working of something going on in my heart and in my mind, telling me and convincing me that this is real. Now let's be realistic here for just a second. I've never, ever in my life seen anybody raised from the dead. And if I did, again, I'm not going to stay around long. It's going to be a glimpse, and I'm out. Physically, on the ground, out. But the truth of the matter is, there is enough historical documents that we can go back, and we didn't have to be there. We don't have to see it for ourselves. We can trust that history was recorded accurately and seen by many other people than just one or two. We take far less things off the internet and believe that they're true. It is believing in my heart that what I read, what I understand, and what I see going on around me is truly God at work. And if he is able to do these wonderful things around me, by golly, he can raise his son from the dead when he's ready. It is confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you're saved. Now, I know I said earlier it's not about this special little prayer, because we put a lot of emphasis on that special little prayer, and it's an important little prayer, but the idea is it's not about that little prayer. It is about what you are willing to tell people and what you are believing in your heart. It is not a one-time deal. It is an every deal day. I don't even like that statement. It's what we have to decide every day that we wake up. It is a conscious choice that today I am committing my life to Christ and I am following him. I claim him as Lord, and I believe in my heart that he was raised from the dead. It's every day. Now, many of you are thinking, does that mean I got to get saved every day? No. The first time you admit that and claim that, you pray that, that's where it starts. But every day we should be refreshed in the knowledge of knowing that he is my Lord. We should be reinvigorated and trusting that what we believe is actually true and really going on. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. There is something about saying it out loud. When I read, if I read quietly in my mind, I will read the same page more than once. The same sentences more than 10 times. Just because it's the way my brain works, I got to go back and make sure that I heard it right. But if I read it out loud, I comprehend so much more.
There's something about saying it out loud. I know up here you see these stairs and you're like, why do you keep calling them an altar? Because that's what they are. They're not just, if we wanted stairs for us to be able to get up here, we'd have made a little passage here. We have them here for you to come and have a conversation with God. Well, I could do it in my seat, but let me tell you something. Absolutely, wholeheartedly believe that you can do it in your seat. In fact, I encourage you to do it every Sunday if God is moving in your heart. But if God is truly working on you, there is something about not just believing it in your heart, but confessing it by the action of moving out of your seat and coming to the altar and saying, I recognize you're working on my heart. I recognize that you're moving within me, and so I am moving in response to that, and I'm coming to the altar, and let's do some work. This is not a passive life that we have to live. This is not something that we just get to idly sit by and it just fixes itself. We have a responsibility in all of this, and it's time we as Christians begin moving towards Him. Man, I'm screaming way too much today. Oh, I'm already done. Imagine that. So, if this faith thing is based on having a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, how can we simplify this whole forgiveness is available and not automatic, it's impossible for us to be good enough to get there, so we got to turn from our sin and self and turn to Jesus in order to experience heaven, not just later, but now. How do we do all that? Let me simplify it for you. You ready for this? It's super complicated, so pay attention. I'm going to take faith and I'm going to lay it out there. Seriously, you ready? Forsaking all, I trust Him. That is what faith is all about. Faith is saying there's nothing that this world can offer to convince me or to help me get to heaven. There's nothing that I can do on my own that I can place my faith in to get me to heaven. Faith is simply turning away from all of those things and trusting in Jesus alone of what He did on the cross for my sins and for yours. And when I can confess Him as Lord of my life and believe in my heart that He was raised from the dead, then my sins are gone and I am started on this journey because now I am saved from my sins with the promise of eternal life to those who continue to do the will of the Father. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, the praise team is going to sing a wonderful, perfectly timed song. It's called I Surrender All. If you've been in church way back with all the hymns, you're going to recognize this song. And it literally says, God, I surrender all that I have to You. I'm laying it all on the altar. Maybe this morning, this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel presentation that you're like, wow, okay, let's do something. Can I just invite you to come see me right up here? They're going to start playing in just a minute. They're going to start singing, I Surrender All. And it's a challenge and it is a wonderful prelude to the decision that you're getting ready to make of, God, I am surrendering all to You because You are my blessed Savior and I'm surrendering it today. If that is you this morning, first off, let's just start. Would you just lift your hand that you know you need salvation today? You need the forgiveness of your sins. Awesome. Now, I'm not talking about if you already prayed the prayer a long time ago. I'm talking about today. You have never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior and you know that today you need Him to forgive you and to cleanse you of all your sins. Thank you. I see those hands. Anybody else? See those hands. Fantastic. You can put those hands down. In just a few moments, listen, they're going to be playing and singing. I'm going to be standing right up here. Come talk to me. Today's the day. Today is the day. Maybe you've been saved a very long time. Maybe you've become a little too confident in your ability. And you've kind of lost the eyesight towards God's ability. Maybe this morning you have recognized that there are some things in your life that you need to turn from in this journey of your Christianity. And maybe you need to come this morning and say, God, I hear You calling me out. I hear You saying this is something I need to turn from. And so, God, I am turning from it today. Let's start with this. Would you simply raise your hand so I can pray that God would give you the courage to come to the altar this morning? Hands all over the place. Anybody else? I just want to pray for you. I know some of y'all are getting nervous. Oh, I got to move now. Listen, you do what God's calling you to do. You do what God's calling you to do. I'm not going to pressure you. So I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask you to stand. The praise team is going to sing a wonderful song. And in those moments, if you feel like you need to come and pray, please, by all means. It may have nothing to do with this sermon at all, and that's okay. I'm going to be up here. I'll be willing to talk with you, pray with you, whatever you need. But let this be the time to God to speak to your heart. And may God give you the courage to move. Get active in this thing. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your graciousness and your mercy towards us. Thank you for the kindness, the power of your word. God, thank you for the gentleness of your spirit that never leaves us wanting or worried. You come in and you work with us and you try to bring us to a place, God, that we can truly experience you and hear from you and understand you. Lord, there are plenty of hands that were raised that need you today. And there were lots of hands who just need help in turning from some of their stuff. And Lord, I'm sure that in the heart of hearts of those that did not raise their hands, there are some that probably should have. But Lord, I'm going to leave that up to you. I'm not interested in guilting people. I'll let you deal with that. I pray that you would deal with our hearts today. Give people the courage, God, to move. Help them to come seek you out. Help them to come, and when they come, let them feel your presence, God, like they never have before, that they would not regret getting out of their seat and coming to the altar this morning. We love you and praise you, and may this song, I Surrender All, be a blessing to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, would you all stand?